My dad spent his life sharing God's word with clarity and conviction. Through CWH, these timeless broadcasts still bring hope. Today's message from 1 Peter 5:7 reminds us that God cares for you. Let's turn now to Dad's sermon, The Sustaining God.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And today we have a sermon if you may be a little downhearted or you have the blues or discouraged maybe, or, you know. Well, we got something of this called the Sustaining God and how he helps us and carries us through. He takes us through the hard times of life. But first of all, I want to read some letters. I get so many nice letters. I just want to share some of them with you. And you kind of know what people are thinking and talking about. And the first one I want to read is from Havana, Cuba. And this is to a dear brother there that I've corresponded with over the years. And so now here in his last letter, he writes, "My beloved wife, Martha, was called by the Lord 3 months ago. As you can imagine, it was a devastating event for me. I was at her side at this terrible moment. She passed away because of her long-time lung infection. I know she is now with the Lord in his kingdom. She was a wonderful person. I want to express my thankful feelings for your prayers for her, your brother in Christ." So we just pray for this dear brother. Yeah, I know what it's like when your wife goes. Is there nothing? You lost your spouse, gone to be with the Lord. That nobody knows what it's like unless you experience it. So just pray for him. Here's one from Wenatchee, Washington. Oh, and I like this. "Just a note that we heard your program in the car today on the way home from church. As we pulled into our driveway, there was about 10 minutes left in your program. My 5-year-old son asked if we could listen to the rest of it. Great teaching. Both my son and I enjoyed it thoroughly." And so here you are, look at here, 5 years old, and he can understand my sermons. And that's what I do all the time. I preach so the children can understand. Then if I do that, everybody can understand. And you know, Booth, General Booth of the Salvation Army, he always taught young pastors how to go out and preach. And he always told them, "You preach so the children can understand." And he says, when you come to something, be sure they can understand what it means. Like with John the Baptist. Don't say that John the Baptist was beheaded. Tell them they cut his head off. And that's exactly what we do. We tell us so the children understand it. And everybody can understand. This little boy just blessed my heart. Here's Ottawa, Kansas. I feel very happy watching you preaching God's word. May God give you many, many more years. Thanks, the Holy Apostolic Church of the East Assyrian." And so here's a dear friends in Christ that are writing, and they want me to preach many more years. I'll tell you exactly how much I'm going to preach. I'm going to preach just as many as God gives me. That's it. Easy. And what God tells us in Psalm 90, "So teach us to number our days, that we apply our hearts unto wisdom." And I think that means that God has a day for us to be born and a day for us to go. And he doesn't tell us what it is, and I'm glad he doesn't. I'm glad I don't know. And so it's just whenever he's ready. So we're just, the main thing is serve him and until he takes you home. And maybe on a bed of sickness where you can't get around. You can witness for people. You can have a prayer list and pray for those people every day. Some people call on telephone and wish to pray for people on the telephone. So just, and for the people that will help you, witness for Jesus. Let them know you love the Lord. One more, Papua New Guinea. "You are the inspiration to every one of us who are believers in our Lord Jesus Christ. With your age, you are going strong in the work of the Lord Jesus. Love to watch your TV program on Daystar. Greetings and blessings." And that came 7,847 miles to wish me a happy, to keep on preaching. Well, 98 years old, walking with the Lord, serving the Lord the best I can. I make a lot of mistakes and a lot of blunders, but my heart is there and my love is there. And God takes the Bible, and that's the Bible's there all the time. I'm preaching the Bible, using the Bible all the time. And the Holy Spirit picks it up and carries it around the world and applies it to hearts, and people are saved everywhere, and people are helped. And that's what I want to think about today. You know, God told Isaiah, he says, comfort ye my people. So that's what we're doing today. We're going to do what God tells us to do. We're going to comfort God's people. And Peter writes about this. And I think so many times, too, when we talk about praying for God's people, I think of the persecuted church and how they're suffering for Jesus. Well, you know, the persecuted church started at Pentecost. They persecuted the church. Devil persecuted the church the day it was born on Pentecost. And so Peter writes to the persecuted church in his day. And he says in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, Jesus, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The Living Bible translates this to read, let him have all your worries and cares, for he is always thinking about you and watching everything that concerns you. Or there's a Phillips translation, puts it like this, you can throw the whole weight of your anxieties upon him, for he has personal concern. And then the good old King James Version, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And so there's a great Bible teacher, he's along with the Lord now, was F.E. Marsh. And he asks a question, how does God care for us? And then he answers it, and this is the way he answers it. He says, he cares for you as a father cares for his child, providingly. Many a good father has gone without things himself so he could give to his children. Many of his fathers sacrificed so as to help his children, but always without complaint, rather just considering it a privilege to do so. And so our Heavenly Father has given his own dear son for us because he loved us so much. And Jesus came because he loved us. You know what you read about Jesus? It talks about he's in Gethsemane, and he's preparing to go to the cross, and he sweats it was great drops of blood, and he agonized because he was taking into his holy body all the sins of the world, all the sins. And that was why he agonized so much. And yet in the book of Hebrews, it tells us that Jesus went to the cross, and he says he went to the cross for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross, despising the shame, but he's given his life for the Lord, for the people of God, the people that will trust him. So God loves you, and the Father in heaven loves you. And sometimes people are fearful of the future, and how am I going to do? How am I going to get along? How am I going to live? And then the young people, I know the young people, what am I going to do for a profession in life? Who am I going to marry? Am I going to marry? And what am I going to face all in my life? See, and even little children, sometimes they're bullied at school and they have their trials and all. So you go to the Father and know this, that God loves you. He cares for you and he'll provide for you. He does it providingly. And then Marsh goes on, he says, and secondly, God will care for you as a mother cares for her offspring. That is, affectionately. A mother's love has often been used to illustrate God's love, for a mother's love is deep, and it is strong, and it is tender, and it is beautiful. But listen, listen, sometimes mothers forsake their children, and that's what David writes about in Psalm 27, verse 10. He talks about mothers forsaking their children. And in my ministry of 85 years, I've seen so many people that, or 75 years, people that have sometimes the mothers forsaken their children. But God says, yet will I not forsake thee, is a statement of Jehovah God. And so that love is ever there and is strong and is caring us and helping us. You know, sometimes love goes cold and we don't have that love that we had for Jesus at the very start. That was a church of Laodicea. And Jesus and God says, the church of Laodicea, He says that because you're neither hot, your love isn't hot nor cold, you're lukewarm. I spewed you out of my mouth. I don't have any fellowship with you. I don't put you into hell because you're my child, but I don't have that fellowship, see? So this wonderful God, he does it as like a mother, except it's affectionately and it never ends. And then he goes on and he says, again, he cares for you as a friend cares for a friend. That is faithfully. How we depend on friends, and I have some friends that I just depend on entirely and hope and just rejoice in knowing them. And so if you have friends, just thank God for that. And so here in Jesus, we have a friend. And sometimes friends desert us, and sometimes they'll let us down. But God will never do that. He will never fail you. He will never forsake you. He says that heaven and earth will pass away. My word will not pass away. And then what does he say? He says, I will be with you to the end of the age. I'll be with you, with his people. And so you're not alone. You think you're alone, but you're not. And God says in Hebrews that he loves us. And he says he will never leave us or forsake us. He's always there, this wonderful God. So there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, Proverbs 18:24. And that's this wonderful Savior. And so we just rejoice in God and rejoice in his Son because that we have a friend we can always turn to. And then he says, you can say he cares for you as a gardener cares for a garden. That is, attentively. Here you have your notice how many times in the scriptures that God talks about the vineyard and taking care of the vineyard. And you know the symbol for Israel was the vine, the grapevine. And how that it has to have a gardener, has to have somebody to take care of them. And you remember when Mary went to the garden after the resurrection of Christ, and she's looking for Jesus, and she mistakes Jesus. He's standing off to one side as the gardener. And so Jesus is a gardener, and he works with us, and he works so that we, and his soil is our flesh and our spirit. And out of that, he tries to bring fruit, and he makes us beneficial and beautiful. And so he brings out love, and he brings out joy, and he brings out peace, and he brings out long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and self-control. Oh, he helps us, and he watches over us so that we will grow and produce fruit. And you remember the story of the vine that he gives. Oh, he talks about that so many times, and that he prunes us and hurts us a little bit. But he does it to make us better and to make us more productive. Yes, he's like a gardener, attentively. And then this God cares for us as an eyelid cares for the eye. And that's instantly, instantly. Have you ever noticed how instantly the eyelid closes to protect the eye? In a split second, the eyelid responds so as to save the eye from harm. And so here's the God, this wonderful God. And he's watching over us, and I just wonder when we get to heaven if we'll see how many times that we may have had close call, but God intervened for us, and he sent the angels. And what does he say about the angels? He says the angels will watch over you and care for you, and I think the angels help us when times we never know it, and many times it's the Lord Jesus himself, that good shepherd who cares for his sheep. We need to remember that God calls his people the apple of his eye. And so that wonderful God, sometimes we have to call 9-11 to get some help, but it takes them time to get there. We could be blind 10 times over by the time the police or somebody got there to help us. But Jesus, that very instant. And we don't know when that instant's going to come, but there he is just as quick as a flash as it can be, and he takes care of us instantly. And then we're told in this wonderful, wonderful Savior that he cares for us as a keeper cares for his charge, that is, watchfully. Have you never read the scripture that says, the Lord thy God is thy keeper, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil? Psalm 121, verses 4-8. The Living Bible talks about this, and they paraphrase it to read like this. He will never let you stumble, slip, or fall. He is always watching, never sleeping. Jehovah himself is caring for you. He is your defender. He protects you day and night. He keeps you from all evil, preserves your life. He keeps his eye upon you as you come and go and always guards you. Friend of mine, what more can you ask? And I want to tell you that this care watches over the minutest details. He holds our hands. He numbers our steps. He books our thoughts. He hears our cries. He furnishes our food. He keeps our feet. He bottles our tears. He knows our names. He clothes our backs. He gives us daily bread. We are totally dependent upon him. That daily bread, we ought to thank God for every meal. Our life is dependent upon this wonder, this daily bread. So God is my keeper. I think it was Mark Guy Pierce who one time said, about every August, the whole world is within 6 weeks of starvation. If God were to blot out the sun from the heavens so that the harvest would not be reaped, the whole wide world would starve in a few short, desperate weeks. And so this merciful God supplies our needs. That little flock, he supplies and helps us all of the time. And he knows what we need, and he knows how much we need, and he knows when we need it. He's wonderful, wonderful God. You're never alone, ever alone. His eye is always upon you. And that means that he sees all your needs, and he knows everything you have. And he is so minute about it. And so he shows us sometimes, he'll show us that I'm there watching over you. There was a Bible teacher, Dr. Vince, and he was a great man of God, and he was in so many ways. And yet when he came to the end of his life, he was greatly troubled because he worried about his wife, who's going to take care of his wife. And during one of those days, he became ill several times during the day, his last illness. He became very depressed. And one morning, as he sat by a huge window in his home, he turned to his wife and said, "My dear, I fear I cannot possibly recover from this illness. And when I am gone, what will become of you? What shall you do?" And then after a pause, he continued, "I know my people love you, but what will they do? How will you get along? And he was very, very sad and depressed. And then they heard his wife and him sitting there by that big window. They heard a little tap, tap, tap. And they looked, and there was a sparrow with a worm in its mouth tapping against the window. At once, Dr. Vince repeated the words of the Lord Jesus, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father?" Matthew 10:29. His countenance brightened. He no longer was depressed. That little bird was a messenger from God who came to him that day and to bring solace and help and cover him, bless his troubled heart. There was that little sparrow, an insignificant little bird used only by the very poor. And if you wanted to buy a sparrow for an offering, you could get a little, you could buy a few, an extra would be thrown in. You'd buy three and they'd throw in an extra one. They were so practically worthless. That little bird they sold for a penny. And that little bird watched over the Heavenly Father. And that sparrow, there he was, sent from the Father in heaven to remind this dear brother, you're all right. God will take care of you. Lean on Jesus. And so the next time you see a little bird that's dead, the little claws are clenched and the feathers are ruffled and he's dead, you just turn it over with your foot and say, "Little bird, my Father saw you when you fell." Then Jesus asks us, "Are you not much more important? Much better than they?" Just think of this wonderful care of God. It is so universal. It is for his people. And when our ministry goes all over the world, shortwave radio, we reach 95% of the world. And all over the world. And yet God is there everywhere watching over you. And you say, and I've thought this too. Here I am one way out in South Dakota here in this, you know, in this, how does he know what I think? What is he? He's got billions of people all over the world. How's he going to watch all over them? But you remember what Jesus said? He says, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Matthew 10, verse 30. And when you talk about all numbered, it simply means this. It doesn't mean that he counts your hair and you know how many hairs you have on your head. He numbers them. Every hair is a number. Every hair on your head is a number. And when one of those hairs falls from your head, a number is missing. And you say, how can that be? Well, if you think of that as great, let me tell you what he does, what he can do. This wonderful Jesus Christ is a creation of all of the world, and we don't know how big it is. But we know that there are galaxies with millions of stars that we scarcely can see. Millions upon billions, like the sand of the sea. And you know what the scriptures tell us? He tells us that the hairs of our head are numbered and that our stars in the sky are named. Every star has a name. And you say, I can't understand that. Of course you can't understand it, for Pete's sake. Are you God? You're a human being. You're just like God as a man walking along and we're a worm there. And what can, they're so far apart, there's no way to comprehend God. But he knows he has the stars of the sky are by name. And so this wonderful God knows exactly where we're at and he understands. And you say, well, nobody knows how I feel. Maybe nobody does, but God knows. And just remember here that it's constant. It's told that he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. God's eye doesn't go off of us when the darkness comes. He's never, whether it's slumbers or sleep, whether it's day or it's night, he's always there. And remember what he tells us in the book of Hebrews. He says, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. That's his promise. And when he makes that promise, you can just lean on him. But what you have to do, you have to just lean on Jesus. Put all your weight on Jesus. You're just like a man who's lost and he's marooned on a little island, a tiny little island. And all he has is a little canoe. It's just as long as he is. And then the tide comes in, it's going to be 12 feet deep, and he happens to be only 6 feet. And so what can he do? He has to lie down in that canoe and let the waves lift him up. He can't wave, can't put up a, he can't put an oar, he can't put up a sail, he can't do anything, he can't stand up and look around. He just has to lie down in that little canoe. And it'll raise him up. And so when you don't know which way to turn and you're all discouraged, you just lean on Jesus. Put all your weight on him. Don't try to figure anything out. Just lean on Jesus. And he loves you and he'll never leave you or forsake you. And he'll lift you up and you'll be safe in the arms of Jesus. And he'll take that and watch over you and he'll take you all the way to heaven. But you have to have Jesus. And you say, how can I have Jesus? Listen to John 5:24. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, now you've heard the word of God, he that heareth my word and believeth on him, you have to believe and accept Jesus, ask him into your heart. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life. That's what Jesus said. And shall not come into condemnation. That is, you won't go into hell, but you pass from death unto life, eternal life, heaven. So you just say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I ask you to come into my life and take away my sins. And I'll turn from those sins the best I can, and I'll follow you the best I can. You'll never be perfect, but you follow the best you can. That's all he asks. And if you said that, you're born again. You're a child of God. And you're in that little canoe, he's going to carry you through. And if you made that prayer, just pray that prayer, then you write to us, a Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. All of you on shortwave, I got to give that again. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you'd like to have a little booklet, we have a little Bible study we put out, free and postpaid. And this month we have the little Bible study, and it talks about the eyes of the why I know I am going to heaven. And it's all from the Bible, why I know I'm going to heaven. And then if you want to have that film, we send it out on a free will offering basis. And if you don't have anything to give, you're right, and we'll do it anyway. And then we have to have your help. And our help comes from God's people. We're not underwritten by any organization or corporation or anything like that. It's just God's people. And so what you need to do is just ask Jesus, now, dear Jesus, do you want me to support these people? Are there something from God that God should get out? And then just ask the Lord. And then if he says yes, then you write, do whatever he tells you to do. And then we're going to use it because we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. Every penny is accounted for. You don't need to worry about that at all. Now let me give it a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you and praise you for this time together. And we think of our persecuted church in Kuwait, Lord. They're having hard times, some of them giving their lives. And oh God, help them to know that we love them and we pray for them all the time. Dear Lord, I'm praying for the shut-ins today, and I'm praying for the young people who have big decisions to make in life. I'm praying for the little children that, Lord, some of them are bullied at school. They have their problems too. And turn their little hearts, open their little hearts, Lord. Have them ask you to come in, and they'll have you all their life, just like I did. Oh, God, we pray that you'll do that. And, Lord, and I want to just say, too, about the offering. We're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And so whatever you give, it's all accounted for. So now we're going to close, and we're going to want you to know God loves you. And God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves you. And all of us here at the Christian Worship Hour, all of our workers, 60 or 80 of them, I don't know how many we got involved for sure, they're all praying. They love you, and they want you to come to Jesus. And I know I want you to come to Jesus. I just wish I could do a better job. I wish I could tell it so you wouldn't turn him away. But it's all up to you. I can't make that decision for you. I'd do it in a minute, but you have to do that. You have to, in your own way, your own words, just talk to Jesus. He's there. He's waiting. And you ask him to save you, and I'll see you in heaven. So God bless you. God bless you, everyone, in Jesus' name.
My dad loved to preach because it gave him the opportunity to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about having a personal relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, visit our website at cwh.org. You can stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view pastors' devotionals. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.